Welcome back to hour number two at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. And in our final segment tonight, it is time for some MLB offseason news and notes. Good to have back with us in studio his first time in 2016, our good friend at YSR, and that is Andy Pondillo. Good evening on this Friday night.
Well, it's been exciting offseason so far. There's still moves to be made, and there's a lot of predictions still going on right now. There's a lot of teams on the fence. They need one or two pieces left, so it's still hard to call, but spring training is soon.
Well, spring training will be here before you know it, but one of the reasons we invited you on tonight, Andy, is I want to get your perspective, your takeaways from the Hall of Fame. Ken Griffey Jr., a first ballot. That was certainly well-deserved.
Yeah, there's no one that really could say Ken Griffey Jr. is not a first ballot Hall of Famer besides the couple of people that for some reason didn't vote for him. Regardless, the highest percentage of a Hall of Fame vote ever in the history of the voting. So it's good to see Ken Griffey get in there. It's really nice to honor him in the 90s, as good of a player as you're going to see anywhere, the numbers he put up. I mean, we talk about Mike Trout right now as being the guy in baseball. To put it in perspective, for Mike Trout to put up Ken Griffey Jr. numbers, he needs to start stealing about 15 to 20 more bases a year, and he needs to start hitting 15 more home runs a year, and then he's Ken Griffey Jr. So not to knock Mike Trout, best player in the game right now, but that just puts it into perspective how good Ken Griffey Jr. was at his young age.
He certainly was incredible, and I know you're going to set off a Twitter thing here, because what about Barry Bonds? I mean, you really felt that he should be in the Hall of Fame.
Those two players mirrored each other through the 90s. I think Bonds obviously played deeper into his career. You know, whether that was aided or not, people would debate that, and I'm sure it probably was. But regardless, through the 90s, you know, Bonds was a 40-40 guy, a guy that every single year was hitting 40 home runs. He was stealing bases. He was playing a high-caliber outfield until he got bigger in his later days. Bonds is as good of a hitter as the game has ever seen, but we have this stipulation about the steroid era. We put some guys in. We don't put some guys in. There's some guys that have kind of allegations, some guys that have never been, you know, they've never had the allegations, but we just assume they use steroids because they're big guys. And, you know, we come to find out through the years that relief pitchers were doing it, utility infielders were doing it, possibly everybody was doing it, but we punish only the best of the best players. To me, it's very unfortunate. Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, all these guys, they had the numbers. They should be in the Hall of Fame. If you want to put them in a special wing, put them in a special wing. But to me, it's criminal not to have the all-time home run leader in the Hall of Fame.
A deserving Hall of Famer certainly is Mike Piazza.
Yeah, definitely. The best hitting catcher of all time. A guy that, you know, you look at him as a power hitter. We think of him hitting 40 home runs a year and doing it at the catcher position, how awesome
that's
that
incredible.
Is. But he was also a complete hitter, a guy that batted 300 every year, a guy that had OPSs over 900. You know, this guy's career was just complete when it comes to being an offensive player as a catcher. You know, that's so hard to do. You're getting dinged. You're getting hit by bats. Your foul balls are always coming off you. You're squatting all the time. There's no way that you have a long career and have good knees being a catcher. And he wasn't, you know, one of these catchers that moved around to other positions and kind of played there part-time. He was there 140, 150 games a year, steady for the Dodgers, steady for the Mets. In my opinion, he shouldn't have had to wait as long as he did. He should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer, but good to see him get in and good to see the voters do the right thing.
So you think the writers did him wrong?
I think so. I think he's the greatest hitting catcher of our time. We're not going to see another player like him for, you know, decades, possibly. Buster Posey is probably the best comparison right now when it comes to a hitting catcher. And I'm going to do the same thing I did with Trout to Griffey. For Buster Posey to be what Mike Piazza was, he's going to have to start hitting 20 more home runs a year. He's going to have to catch more games than he's currently catching right now. And he's going to have OPSs that are just absurd, you know, over the 800, 900 level consistently. And Buster Posey, I think most people would say at this point, probably is going to be a Hall of Fame catcher. But Mike Piazza, how far in advance he was for his time, or any time, really, to me, he's an easy first ballot Hall of Famer, should have been.
One of the guys I definitely wanted us to hit on is Jeff Bagwell. I mean, he showed a huge increase and fell just, what, 15 votes short.
Yeah, he'll probably get in and deserving.
When do you think he's going to get in?
Probably next year.
Okay.
If he got
he's
over close. 70% of the vote, he should get in next year. You know, a guy, probably the most complete first baseman we saw during the 90s, one of the most complete first basemen of all time. He put up the 30-30 numbers. He had the MVP season in 1994. You some people, I think, like to look at him and say he only made four All-Star games, but let's also look during the era he played. He had to compete versus Mark McGwire, Andres Galarraga, you know, just tons of mashing first basemen that we saw in and out of the National League. It was hard to make the All-Star game as a first baseman, especially if you didn't play in a certain type of market, like a Cubs, like a Cardinals, an East Coast team, the Braves, Galarraga, obviously, over there. So, you know, there was just so many guys during that time that really deflected attention from one first baseman to another. But Bagwell was as consistent as any of them out there and often wasn't the MVP or the best player of the league, but he might have been the best all-around consistent first baseman. If he would have been able to play five more years, hands down, he's in as a first-ballot Hall of Famer. He does have the steroid allegations, unfortunately, but yet it seems like the voters are starting to look past that. The voters are starting to look at his body of work. I think he gets in next year. I don't know if he ever... I don't think he was a first-ballot guy, but it's very important to get him in the Hall of Fame for what he did for the game.
That, of course, was Andy Pondillo with our MLB off-season news and notes. And it is time to thank all of our amazing guests and our lineup over the past 2 hours. Troy Hudson in studio, former NBA player and co-host of Nothing But Net with our very own Joe George. Very special thank you to James Hale, the senior editor with OU Insider, the recap of the national title game. Tom Pippins with Fox 6 Television in Milwaukee. Motez Bashar, the author of Beating the NBA, Tales of a Frugal Fan, and contributor with CNN World Sports, and our very own Mark Spears, Yahoo NBA writer. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell, encouraging you not to drink and drive. We'll see you next weekend for the biggest and the very best in sports.